Hello, friends, and welcome into Sports from the Couch here on Mercado Airwaves. I'm your host, Mike Mercado. You're about to hear a clip from the Sports Cubicle on WCPT 820 AM, Chicago, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Sunday nights with myself, Devin Tingle, Paul Shavari, and Dan Marver. If you would like to check out the entire show, check us out over on SoundCloud at WCPT and wherever you get your favorite podcast at Mercado Airwaves. And of course, if you would like to see the video version of the show, check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/Mercado Airwaves Network. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media, Instagram, Mike Mercado Media, and you can be interactive with the show on Twitter at Couch Sports Talk. Like, rate, review, and share us wherever you get your favorite podcast at Mercado Airwaves. And please hit the little bell, subscribe button on youtube.com/Mercado Airwaves Network if you would like to see the video version of the podcast. If you would like to support us, visit us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. There you can become a producer. You get our weekly NFL confidence picks there at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. We have a bunch of awesome tiers if you would like to support us in that way. We're also on Teespring, teespring.com/Mercado Airwaves. If you would like some swag, check us out at teespring.com/Mercado Airwaves just in time for the holiday season. Now enjoy this segment from the latest edition of the Sports Cubicle on WCPT 820 AM Chicago, where facts matter, Sunday nights, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Enjoy! Make sure you're following us all over the universe. If you've missed a segment, if you want to listen to the Sports Cubicle back, we're on SoundCloud over at WCPT 820, so subscribe to us over there, and also catch up with all the amazing shows here on the station, like Joan Esposito, Santita Jackson, Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, and all the other great talent over here in the number one progressive talk station in Chicago, WCPT 820 AM. We're also on Twitter at Sports Cubicle TV. Make sure you're keeping up with us in case you want to hit anything that's happening in the sports world. And of course, on YouTube, if you want to see the video version of the podcast, over at youtube.com/Mercado Airwaves Network. See the pretty faces of Paul Shavari, Devin Tingle, the marvelous one, Dan Marver, myself, Mike Mercado, and our guest on this edition of the Sports Cubicle. He is one of the best NFL insiders coming up in the business. He also covers college football like a blanket over at The Daily Blitz. Check him out at thedailyblitz.blog. He is the host of the Monday Evening Quarterback and one of our best friends, the one and only Christian Simpson. Christian, what's going on, my man?
Happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Happy Thanksgiving to you, my guy. Hopefully you had a wonderful time stuffing yourself with amazing food and football. And I think it is a wonderful tradition to get some delicious meal in us and to watch some sometimes good football and sometimes not so good football.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the two go hand in hand with one another. So, I mean, I couldn't agree with you anymore.
Well, Christian, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we could talk about both nationally and locally, but we're going to take a big step first when it comes to a bigger picture in the NFL. And, you know, there's a lot of ways we could go down this road, and there's a lot of ways that we can dissect this. But this is the most important question, and it's the only one. It's the elephant in the room, and it's simply, who's good in the NFL? Like, I think every week we try to figure that out, but who's actually good?
Man, I mean, my guess is as good as yours, but you look at Arizona. They're 9-2 right now. They've really taking that next step. Still trying to figure them out a little bit, but they've been able to handle business without Kyler Murray, without DeAndre Hopkins. The defense is playing well. They have playmakers on both sides of the ball. I know they lost J.J. Watt, and that's leadership, but their defense has still been able to get it done. And they have Chandler Jones. You know, you look at him, he's a difference maker when he's healthy. I think he's a top 6 or 7 defensive player when he's on the field.
When you're looking at a team like Arizona, is there anything that you for, like, let's say Arizona, but then you look at a team like Dallas, what is separating a Cardinals team from a Cowboys team?
Well, with Arizona, they rely heavily on balance. Dallas, they can get away from that. And when defenses make them one-dimensional, they press, they struggle. So when Dak Prescott is taking shots down the field, sometimes he's throwing a ball 45 and 50 times a game, and they're just not set up to win like that. Ezekiel Elliott is their best player. Kind of reminds me a little bit. He's the closest thing I've seen to Edgerrin James. Just the way he kind of runs, the way he can catch the ball out the backfield, and he can block. In order for him to make an impact, He has touched the football at least between 20 and 25 times. People like to say he's washed up, and I just always like to professionally correct them. And I say he can't be washed up if he's not making an impact. You got to feed him the ball. But then again, look at who his coach is, Mike McCarthy. He didn't run the ball in Green Bay. And I'll tell you this, if Mike McCarthy were coaching the Packers now, Aaron Jones would be an afterthought.
And he's almost an afterthought because of how well they're using A.J. Dillon. So it goes to your point, when you're able to find the talents of a running back and then be able to exploit them like they do in Cleveland, like they do in Green Bay, it goes to show when you have weapons like Pollard and a Zeke and you're not able to use it. And I think that's the thing in the NFC specifically. The NFC looks like it's more of a toss-up. I think the AFC is very top-heavy. If you had to pick right now, is the Super Bowl champion coming out of the NFC or the AFC?
Oh, wow. You talk about putting somebody on the spot. Right now, I'm going to lean toward the AFC because I think teams are a little bit more complete in that side. You know, Kansas City, they're starting to kind of round it up a little bit. Still a little bit concerned about what their defense can do. Can it hold up? Because I feel they sometimes play defense in spurts. But I will tell you this, them getting Melvin Ingram was a little bit of a blessing in disguise, because now Chris Jones can move in and play on the inside of that defensive line. Still concerned about their offense, because after Tyreek Hill and after Travis Kelce, who's that other guy that you could really depend on to go make plays down the field? Because look, me being a former defensive player, I know, look, I'm in that room and I'm saying, we're taking away number 10. Don't let anybody but him. Don't let him get the ball. We're doubling him. We're keeping everything. We're making him earn everything underneath. He is not going to get over the top on us. Doubling him, playing cover one, that's man coverage across the board underneath. And I'm keeping that safety, playing center field up top. And we're just taking him away. Travis Kelce is a different story because he creates so many mismatches on the field. He's the best tight end in the National Football League. And he is a wide receiver stuck in the body of a tight end, if that makes sense. But other than that, okay, it's almost like a thing by committee. Haven't really used Josh Gordon too much. Mecole Hardman is more of a slot guy. Byron Pringle can make a couple of catches here and there. DeMarcus Robinson can make a couple of catches here and there. Like, they need that true second threat, and they don't have that really after Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill.
I think there's times we try to overthink this, and I think we did that with Kansas City in the beginning of the season, where did the NFL figure out Kansas City? Is Patrick Mahomes washed goods? Did Andy Reid lose it as a head coach? And then obviously just with injuries, attrition, and getting people back that you hadn't had in the whole entire season, it's like addition by free agency. You look at Kansas City now, and you're looking, okay, this is probably going to be the team that, even if they don't have home field, even if they're only hosting one game, they're going to be a favorite in a lot of matchups. But as things change, as the landscape changes in the NFL, there's a constant that's coming back after one bad season, and that's New England. And I see a lot of love for the Patriots. So you're talking about Kansas City, and I think a lot of us are looking at Kansas City as the boring pick, but the right pick. You speak about boring and right. There's nothing more boring and right than picking Bill Belichick and his Patriots when they're correct. Let me ask you, is this fool's gold? Is this real? What is going on in New England? Big picture-wise, are they better than Buffalo? Can they compete with Buffalo? Are they up to match with a Kansas City? What is going on in Boston?
So we'll figure that first question out. Are they better than Buffalo? We'll figure that out next week, because they actually play each other on Monday Night Football, which I will be previewing on the website somewhere. Come on, man.
Awesome.
You know I had to
throw
in that little shameless plug.
Dailyblitz.blog. Make sure you check it out. The one and only Christian Simpson.
Absolutely.
What are you thinking? So you're going to be previewing the awesome matchup that is Buffalo, New England. This is after you've already, and you guys can check it out right now, covering the matchup that was Baltimore versus Cleveland, and we'll see how much of your prediction and of that was correct as this is being aired to the awesome people of Chicago here on the Sports Cubicle on WCPT 820 AM. Let us know, though, Christian, what are you thinking about New England after this Buffalo matchup and how they look big picture in the AFC?
Well, to answer your question, yeah, New England's for real, because it's almost like it's 2001 for me all over again. With a young Tom Brady, now they have a young quarterback in Mac Jones. They're not asking him to do too much. All they need him to do is control things, manage the clock, hand the ball off. The offensive line is playing well. Whoever said Mac Jones can't throw, they're absolutely out their mind. Because a couple of weeks ago against Cleveland, he threw a ball to Kendrick Bourne in between two Browns defenders, and he elevated it a little bit up to the point where only Kendrick could come away from it. But their offense, they're not flashy. They're downhill. They move the ball. Defensively, they're playing opportunistic defense. Matthew Judon was one of the underlining signings of the offseason. He's a pass rusher. He's really elevated them and given them that boost on the defensive side. And if you watch New England, what's Bill Belichick known for defensively? Making you one-dimensional, taking away who you like to get the football to. Nobody does it better than the Patriots. They're back. And this kind of calls for good things to come in the AFC, because I'll admit it was a little weird not seeing a Belichick-led team in the playoffs last year. But New England, look, they're rolling right now. They're playing old school football, and Bill Belichick is doing it with an old school game plan, moving the ball by running the ball offensively, playing that opportunistic defense, and they're even capitalizing upon things in special teams.
When you're looking at potential bets, or you're trying to make friendly wagers, or you're just trying to pick winners, it comes down to this scenario. Are you trusting Justin Herbert to go all the way to the East Coast and beat Bill Belichick and his defense in January? Those are the type of scenarios. Is Joe Burrow going to Arrowhead and beating Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes? These guys are studs. They're amazing. We cannot wait to see them as they move forward in their careers. But reality is reality, and I think that's the funny thing about the AFC is as much as there's new guard, old guard, and even older guard, things are just in a weird flux position of we'll have to see week to week because who knows what the Titans are. But let's move to the NFC for a second, because I think for Chicago Bears fans, one of the biggest nightmares is happening right now. Justin Fields is injured. The turmoil and the PR nightmare that was happening during the entire week with Matt Nagy and the front office. But more importantly is how successful the Green Bay Packers are. And as much as we want to talk about Tampa Bay, we want to talk about some of these other teams in the NFC, it looks like Green Bay has just as good as any team, especially if they host a team in Lambeau Field in the NFC Championship game to get to a Super Bowl. I remember during training camp and in the beginning of the season, our biggest hope was to see a dysfunctional Green Bay team, Aaron Rodgers having mystery injuries, and that's happening more in Seattle and in Chicago. You know, ironically, where the Russell Wilson intrigue all started with. So, am I being crazy? Are we crazy here on the Sports Cubicle? Are the Packers going to fulfill the nightmare of all Bears fans this season? And are they really the team in the NFC that maybe things just, they aren't sexy and everything that they do is kind of has a weird funk to it because of the COVID stuff with Aaron Rodgers? But at the end of the day, they have every weapon it takes to beat you and home field advantage.
Yeah, they do. But here's the thing. I don't know if I can trust their defense. You know, they play defense in spurts. What are we going to see? Are we going to see the team that gave up 38 to the New Orleans Saints in week one? Are we going to see the team that gave up 29 to the San Francisco 49ers in week three? Or even the other day, are we going to get the team that gave up, 34 to Minnesota? So I'm still really trying to figure out their defense. Are they improved? Absolutely. Have they been consistent? Absolutely not. But you have a chance when you have number 12 on the center and he goes by the name of Aaron Rodgers. But here's the thing. The Packers are dealing with injuries to key guys. They just lost an offensive lineman in Jenkins to a torn ACL. Bakhtiari is yet to come back. I think when he comes back, he's going to shore up that offensive line. Aaron Jones is hurt. He's out. They've been without their best defensive player, Jair Alexander. But other guys have stepped it up and made plays when they needed to. I thought their best win of the year came against Arizona because there's no Devontae Adams. There's no Alan Lazard. There's no Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Those are his top three pass catchers. And what do? They switch up their game plan, run the football. They become a team that grinds things out. And it was, they're impressive. I think we're going to see a little bit more of who they are in this game on Sunday against the Los Angeles Rams. But right now, it's looking like the road to the NFC and trying to get to SoFi is going to travel through Lambeau Field once again.
And again, we just mentioned it too, where it's if you're going to put any type of money, any type of just gentleman's agreements, if you will, the idea of Matthew Stafford taking those Rams who, as a starting unit are amazing, but as you start getting down that depth chart are really hard. And again, a game in January in Lambeau Field to get to the Super Bowl, it makes for an intriguing moment. And speaking of intriguing, is the NFL MVP conversation, because it was Derrick Henry for a little while, then unfortunately the big guy got hurt, and that was Jonathan Taylor. Is a quarterback going to sneak in and win this thing? Who is the MVP to, in your humble opinion, Christian Simpson?
Wow. Right now, I got to lean with Brady. I mean, he looks so locked in right now. He's still doing it at the highest level at 44 years old. He's so in sync with those receivers in Tampa Bay compared to what we saw around this time a year ago. He just looks more comfortable. It was Derrick Henry for a while, but like you said, unfortunately, the big guy got hurt. But right now, I'm going to lean with Brady. But I'll tell you, I think it's going to get interesting because Josh Allen could enter that conversation. Patrick Mahomes could enter that conversation. But I would love to see somebody who's not a quarterback win it. We haven't seen it since 2012 with Adrian Peterson.
Christian, we've kept you long enough from your leftovers, but before we let you go, we need to get a quick thought on of this crazy week that was a nightmare to start off for Matt Nagy after the big loss, after the injury, and then this reporting that came out of his inevitable firing, then going into Thanksgiving Day, getting a win, only 16 points against the Detroit Lions, all the foolishness that happened afterwards. What were your thoughts on what's going on over at the lakefront?
So I've always said this. I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of firing coaches in season. It depends on what they're doing. Like what John Gruden did, yeah, that's a reason to fire somebody in season because there's no need for that. That's just completely unprofessional. Yep. But I know the Bears have been known never to fire a head coach in season, and I don't think they're going to, because if they were going to get rid of him, they would have relieved him of his duties and his responsibilities right now. And it just puts the franchise in a position that they don't want to be in. It creates unnecessary storylines. The players are stuck in between a rock and a hard place because players can grow attached to coaches. And I thought this was just stuff that they didn't know how to handle this week. I'm glad they got the win. That was a game they had to grind out, but you know, things like this happen in the National Football League, unfortunately. Do I think he is going to get fired? Unfortunately, yes. They're going to do it at the end of the year because he hasn't really improved since that first season in the National Football League. You look at Matt Nagy, and that first year when the Bears won those 12 games and they won the division, it's because nobody had tape on him. He didn't innovate. He didn't do anything better after that. I remember somebody asking me a question. This was after Justin Fields' first start. Who's to blame for this? Is it coaching or is it the front office for not protecting Justin Fields? I said, hands down, it's coaching because they're not catering to the quarterback's needs. When you look at Justin Fields, he's a mobile guy. He has to use his legs. Cater to his skill set. Two, you're playing Myles Garrett. He's one of the three best defensive players in the National Football League. Chip him. Block him. Do something you can to take him away because he can take over a game at any given thought, at any given moment. Another perfect example I'll give you. Look at Tampa Bay now. Look at how they're catering to what it is Tom Brady likes to do. Tom likes to control the offense by doing what? Using his tight ends over the middle, motioning guys, using those shifty receivers. And look, they even got him a pass-catching running back, something he thrived off of in New England for 20 years. They got him Giovanni Bernard. I know he's making a couple of catches here and there. So they've completely misused Justin Fields, in my opinion.
And I am also worried that while they might have stunted the growth of Justin Fields, we'll see what happens if Ryan Pace still has a job at the end of the season, because he's the one that gets to pick another coach. He's the other one that has lost draft capital. He's the one that spent a lot of money on the defense that isn't playing right now. We've been talking about this scenario. We've been talking about the whole Matt Nagy situation and Ryan Pace this entire episode of The Sports Cubicle, and it's going to be a story we're going to continue to talk about here on the show. But if you want to get everything that is college football and the NFL, there's nobody better than Christian Simpson. It's the dailyblitz.blog and, of course, the amazing podcast that is up and running. Finally, the world has been asking for it, and he has delivered. It is the Monday Evening Quarterback. Christian, where can all the people find you on social media?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at DailyBlitz_61. Log on to the website, as you just said, and become a subscriber today, which is the DailyBlitz.blog. Follow us on Facebook, go to the search box, type in the Daily Blitz. You can follow us on Instagram as well, at the Daily Blitz underscore 61.
Who do you think is the MVP so far of the NFL season? Who has surprised you? Who has disappointed you? Who is your Super Bowl favorite? Have you already made your pick? How are your predictions from the beginning of the season? We want to know all your thoughts. Follow us at Sports Cubicle TV on Twitter. And of course, subscribe to us, like us, share us, download us on SoundCloud at WCPT820. You're listening to The Sports Cubicle with Paul Shivari, Dan Marver, Devin Tingle. I'm Mike Mercado on WCPT 820 AM, where facts matter.